The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're just too numb to ask. So, today, we're going to be talking to a dentist in North Carolina, and his name is Dr. Otero, Dr. Mikhail Otero. I think I said that wrong, and I'll ask him here in a minute how to pronounce it. But it's kind of a cold day here in Columbus, and gather up to the radio, kind of cozy up there. You might remember that my daughter got married last Saturday, and so later on today I'll be picking her and her new husband up from the airport, so I'm kind of excited to see them. All right, now, Dr. Otero, I'm going to go ahead and introduce him. Well, actually, before I do that, and I always forget, I'm going to go ahead and give out our question of the day. Dr. Kvitko's question of the day is, where does North Carolina rank in the dentist-to-population ratio in the United States? All right? So think about that for a minute. Where does North Carolina rank in the dentist-to-population ratio in the United States? You can send your guesses to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 at yahoo.com, or you can call us at 821-1230, and Tom will be happy to write down your guess. And what that means is, in the United States, let's put it this way, a state that would be number one would have the most dentists per population, state would be number 50 would have the least dentist population. Okay? Thought that might be a little confusing, and there's an explanation. So, let me go ahead and introduce our guest. And Dr. Otero has always wanted to be a dentist, even as a junior high school child in Florida. He said he knew that he wanted to be in healthcare, his father being a Navy pediatrician. He would accompany him to his clinic and watch his dad treat the youngest patients and their often worried parents. He knew his dad had helped the community and he wanted to do the same. He was moved to do some volunteer work himself in the neighborhood and wound up volunteering at a dental office and noticed how that doctor was changing lives by changing smiles. From that time on, he knew exactly what he wanted to do, which was become a dentist. Dr. Otero was born in Puerto Rico. His family moved to the continental U.S. before he was 1 year old. And they've lived in various places, including California, Virginia, and Florida. And, of course, now he lives in North Carolina. As far as college and dental school, Dr. Otero went to the University of Florida, which we think that makes him a Gators fan. So please don't turn off your radio. I know that... Anyway, he is a Gators fan. I apologize to the Buckeye Nation for having him on the show, but he seems like a good guy, so anyway. He earned his Bachelor of Science there in economics and then went to NYU, New York University College of Dentistry, where he earned his Doctorate of Dental Surgery degree. In addition to those studies at NYU, Dr. Otero attended over 300 hours of training and received his fellowship in implant dentistry. It was also while he was in New York that he met his wife, Lindsay, who is also a dentist. And they've recently had a child, and they practiced in the Wilmington area for about 5 years before deciding to open their dream office in Hampstead, North Carolina, where they plan on staying for several years. They're active in the Chamber of Commerce, active members in their church, and proud sponsors of the Spot Festival and the Topsail High School football team. Dr. Otero continues to expand his knowledge in all aspects of dentistry, but most recently in endodontics, implants, and Invisalign. Some of his outside interests include college football, a Gators fan, of course. Again, please don't turn off your radio. Fishing and trying to keep a golf ball on the fairway, which, just like me, apparently he has limited success. And he enjoys wakeboarding on the North Carolina shoreline. So, Dr. Otero, thank you for getting up early and being my guest on the show today.
Good morning, Dr. Kvitko. How are you?
I'm great. You know, I hadn't really thought about when you worked for North Carolina. I thought, well, that'll be safe. And now I find out you're a Gators fan. But Who knew, right?
Yeah, I failed to mention that to Deborah.
Okay, well, I hope I didn't hear all those radios turn off, but...
No.
Anyway, now, the reason I wanted to have you on is partly because of being in another state and giving us a kind of a, that side of dentistry. I think that we actually haven't started it yet, but pretty soon we're going to start a dentistry around the United States where we have guests on from every state in the union. And but that's not why we invited you. We invited you because you're a young dentist. You've been out for 5 years or a little over 5 years. A couple unique things in that you're married to your wife is a dentist as well. And, of course, that brings on some challenges. And also, I thought it would be neat with you guys just having opened your own practice for people, my listeners, to get a feel as to what that involves, what's the cost involved, some of the concerns that you have when you take on that endeavor. So I guess we've a little bit covered, but my first question was going to be, why did you get into dentistry in the first place? And I don't know if I answered it in your introduction or not. Maybe you can expand on that.
Well, yes, you did discuss some of the things that brought me into dentistry. My father being a healthcare provider, growing up, I always admired what he did and how he was able to help the community, how basically the responsibility that came along with that, as well as the respect that comes along with the community, and just being able to help, being able to offer something that people come to you because they need you. And being able to do that, I felt dentistry is a great way to do that. And being able to change smiles. When I started volunteering for Dr. John Burville in Green Cove Springs in Florida, where I grew up in Jacksonville, Orange Park, Florida, right outside of Jacksonville, started volunteering for him. And we just had a great day. Went in and just saw how he was with his patients, really getting to know everybody, and realizing there at that point, hey, this guy's got a great relationship with these patients. People come in, they love him, they're there to see him because they need him, and he's able to change their lives and help them out so much by changing their smiles, helping their self-confidence, making them comfortable. And then I realized that I really think that this is a career for me, as well as something that I wanted to be is a family man. And the hours that Dr. Verville was working with it was more of a set schedule with him. With a he worked an 8-to-5 day every day. And it was more of a set schedule for him. At the end of the day, he was able to get home, spend it with his family. While my father, being a physician, he was on call fairly often. He had a longer work schedule. So that was some of the luxuries that I saw in dentistry for me that made it more attractive than going into medical school.
Okay.
That's part of the thing that helped me choose dental school over medical school.
You brought up the point about your father being on call, and I'm just curious, do you ever find yourself having to go back to the office after hours to handle a dental emergency?
I do. On occasion, we do have patients that will call and let us know that they are in pain, and definitely that's not something that we like to let people go through. So many times with dentistry, though, when it comes to dental pain, it's because someone has procrastinated and put it off and put it off and put it off, and therefore they understand if you can't get in to see them that day. Sometimes they'll call on a Saturday, and we're just unable to get there, but say, I'll meet you first thing on Sunday morning if we can, and we do our best to get to the office and help our patients out if we can.
So you've actually gone in on a Sunday and that sort of thing?
I have.
I mean, you're not going to put that in the.
I'm very grateful.
Not going to put that in the yellow pages, but.
No. These are patients of record that are great patients for us, and definitely will go in and help them out.
Well, that sounds good, and I do the same thing, and I think that I don't know that listeners actually understand that when it comes to dental pain, there is no place for anyone to go besides calling a dentist. They typically emergency rooms do not handle dental pain.
No, they do not, and most of the time they don't know what to do. They'll always just give antibiotics and pretty much a narcotic of some sort to get the patient through and say, see your dentist next time we see you, and next time you can, next time they're open, which is usually Monday through Thursday. So, and my advice to patients is I always tell them, look, this tooth is one bite away from it starting to hurt you, so you really need to take care of it. And dental pain always starts usually on a Thursday night when a dentist is closed for the rest of the weekend.
Of course.
Or when they're about to go to a wedding. Or when, you know, when they're about to go on vacation. That's always when it starts. It's at the most inconvenient time. So.
Right.
So listen to the advice that your dentist gives you. And when they say, hey, you really need to take care of this issue before it becomes more of a problem, you know, preventive medicine is the best when it comes to dentistry.
Because honestly, physicians are very, very intelligent, very educated in what they do, but when they look in a person's mouth, they're pretty much looking from the tonsils on back.
Yes.
And I had a physician sit in my chair, came in with a little bit of a toothache, and he said, I think it's tooth number 34 that's hurting. And you find that funny because you know that people only have 32 teeth, but so if that gives you a little indicator as to a physician's knowledge of the mouth, you would understand why they don't really treat dental care in emergency rooms.
There's just so much to know in the mouth that there's just not enough time in medical school to teach that.
Right.
To teach dentistry. Dentistry is something that takes 4 years on its own to learn. And if you want to become an expert in the mouth, you really need to take time to learn that. And there's just not enough time for a physician to learn dentistry. So that's why God made dentists. Here we are.
I was, you know, in reading your bio, I see that you've lived in California, you've lived in Florida, Virginia. So how'd you wind up in North Carolina? Did you, like, get off the wrong exit ramp?
Pretty much. That would be...
They have these GPS things now.
That would be because I got married.
Oh, okay.
Because I got married. I met my wife in dental school. Some of the words of advice leaving to go to dental school from Florida, going up to New York City to enjoy the big city, I heard this from several people, do not fall in love with a dental student. Yeah. Whatever you do, don't date a dental student. And sure enough, I got there my first week of school, I saw my wife, she walked into class, I said, hey, that's the one right there for me. And a couple years later, we started our relationship that first year of dental school, and 3 years later, probably our third year of dental school, we started talking about, hey, where do we want to go when we finish dental school? Is this a relationship that's going to grow? And she was from New Hampshire, and I consider New Hampshire the North Pole.
Well, you do.
Being from Florida, I cannot handle the cold that way. And she considers Florida way too hot, so we just wanted to be on the coast. And we took one weekend, and we drove up and down the coast, and we loved the North Carolina area.
Except you don't know how to say it. Isn't it North Carolina?
Well, I still have my Florida blood in me.
Oh, okay.
That allows me to say it that way. And so here we are. It was in the middle between North Carolina and between Florida and New Hampshire. So this is where we decided to call home. We love it.
For those of you that have never been down there, and it is the Wilmington area, I have been to Wilmington. They have an Azalea Festival every year. It's a really, really beautiful city. It's a nice place to visit. They have an old battleship that you can tour. I understand exactly what you're talking about. I could see myself living there as well.
Nice town, historic downtown, beautiful waterway, great lakes, great beaches, great rivers, great fishing, great weather. If you're a golfer, you can golf 9 to 10 months out of the year without a sweater on. It's great.
Wow. Wow.
It doesn't help my golf game at all.
Yeah, it wouldn't help mine either. Excuse me. All right, now we do have to go to a break here soon. Before we go to the break, though, let me just tell you we received a couple email guesses to our question of the day, which is, where does North Carolina rank in the dentist-to-population ratio in the United States? Todd sent me an email that says he's guessing 33rd. Leela is guessing 10th. And Lewis is guessing 15th. So those are not correct. But thank you very much, and keep those coming. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Dentally Speaking here with Dr. Kavitko. Today my guest on the show is Dr. Otero. Dr. Otero practices in Hampstead, North Carolina. He's a dentist that's been in practice for about 5 years. Him and his wife, who is also a dentist, just recently opened up an office, their dream office, and I want to talk to them a little bit about that because I want to have some insight. Would like my listeners to have some insight as to what does it take to open a dental practice these days. But let me ask you first, Dr. Otero, are there any challenges to having your wife as your practice partner?
Are there any challenges to that? Wow. Since she's, of course, going to listen to this, I think I need to tread lightly with this one. Now, challenges to having her as my partner, I think there's more advantages than there are challenges. We do enjoy the extra time together. I think that's something that can be very challenging for some people, but for us, we knew that we got along great, spending all our time together in dental school, studying time after school hours and everything. So we realized then that, hey, this is something that could work out. However, there are some people that those extra hours are pretty taxing on them. But for us, we're fairly good about it.
Let me go back to when you said the advice you had was don't date a dental student. I've never heard that. Why was that?
I think the main advice came from my mentor in Florida, because he wanted me to come back and associate with him. And he had a feeling,
okay,
had this happen, then I wouldn't end up going back to Florida, which is exactly what happened.
I see.
Yes, but also it's taxing. And it could be taxing, the extra hours on people, and the extra hours that you spend together. Because that's also a nice little vacation. You know, when people go to work and aren't there with their wives, that's their time away from them. That's their time away from their loved ones, that they're out doing their own thing. But for us, we really don't have that separate time. So that's probably the most challenging part. But at the same time, you know, we do share so much together. We both understand the challenges of dentistry in our career and how difficult it is all day long being intimate with a patient that doesn't want to be there with you.
Right.
And you know, that can be draining. And it's great to have someone that you love that you can consult with. Who better to consult with than your wife?
Yeah, I do that all the time. I trust her and respect her opinion. She's not a dentist, but I definitely take her opinion and value it, and she knows that. Now, I want to talk about this new office, because you've both been associates at different offices for 5 years, and now you opened up a 4,000-square-foot office in Hampstead, and that is an office that eventually will have 10 operatories. I think that has room for 10 right now. You're using 3.
We're using 4. We have 4 set up right now.
Okay. And people drive by and see dental offices open up all the time, and I think don't even think about it, but... I mean, well, you don't have to share any numbers if you don't want, but I'm going to ask you some specific questions so that people get an idea of opening up a new office and coming right out of school. So if I'm getting too personal, just tell me, and we can move on to the next question. But so let's start with college debt, school debt. What kind of debt did you leave dental school with?
Well, just...
And your wife, I guess, too.
Yes, well, we both went to New York University. Great school. We loved it. Got to see, it's the third oldest dental school in the nation, as well as the largest dental school in the nation. So there are more dentists coming out of NYU than there are any other place in the nation. You know, more dentists have graduated from NYU than any other place.
Wow.
Great school, we love it, and I'm so happy we had an opportunity to go there.
They don't have a football team, right?
They do not have a football
team. Okay, so they're okay with us. All right, go ahead.
But I did get my fill, you know, with my great football at Florida. Go Gators. And then we'll leave it at that. Thank you.
I don't believe you just said that.
But dental school, extremely expensive. Actually, I remember hearing from my dean in dental school during our very first speech, he said dental school is the most expensive education when it comes to educating a dentist. The cost to the school to educate one dentist is more than any other education out there.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, people don't take that into consideration. But your average dental student is leaving with, not just from NYU, your average dental student from any school across the nation graduating today is graduating with well into the 6 figures in debt. So can you imagine going to school for, you've gone to 4 years of college. This is even if you don't have any college debt, any undergrad debt. Just dental school loans alone, and going those 4 years of dental school, your average dental student leaving from day one becoming a doctor has 6 figures of debt.
You mean $100,000 or $200,000?
At least $100,000.
Okay, what do you think the high is?
The high is probably going to be close to $300,000.
Wow.
So it's going to be anywhere between $100,000 and $300,000 in student loan debt alone.
Okay.
And that's a debt you're going to carry for 30 years.
Yeah. I wonder what the payment on that is.
It's nice. It's a hefty payment.
Well, I mean, is
I believe,
is it $1,000 a month, $2,000?
It can be right around there.
Okay, about it can be around $2,000 a month.
It's the fanciest automobile you could ever imagine.
Okay.
Let's put it like that. It's a very fancy automobile that you could be driving every single month, but instead you're paying it to a diploma on the wall, and you're proud to do it.
Right. So then you have that debt, and you have to figure out a way to earn a living to make that payment, but then you still went out 5 years later and opened up an office. And I know that offices like yours can run anywhere from $1 million to maybe, I don't know, $1.6 million to get open.
They're expensive. It's definitely a huge, huge risk that you have to take when you do it, and it's just a leap of faith that you have to do. And this is why we took several years getting our practice ready, because we wanted to make sure that we were ready to do it. We knew that we had our clinical skills to the point where we're able to serve our patients as need be. And it took us a little while to get comfortable with the idea. Our biggest challenge probably this year with financing and opening a new practice is this credit crunch. This credit crisis hit everybody. Doesn't matter if you're in healthcare. Doesn't matter where you are. My wife and I both have impeccable credit. I mean, it is great credit. Everything was signed on the dotted line. We got our loan approved prior to construction, and then we opened our doors September 1st.
All right.
So we had our doors open, and now we're starting to see patients. We're mid-September, and I called up the loan company. I said, "Hey, we're ready for you to go ahead to release the construction loan to our construction company. They finished everything. We're ready to open." They said, "Dr. Otero, we have no money to give."
Wow. So they actually had to back out?
They had to back out. I mean, this is one of the largest companies in the world when it comes to dental lending. They said, "Dr. Otero, we can't give money to anyone. We have cardiologists that have their doors open. That there's no money to give."
Hey, you know what? Let's pick up this conversation on the other side of this break.
Okay.
Because you just, I think that's a very interesting aspect for us to hear.
Oh, and it's scary. Yes.
Okay. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Our phone number is 821-1230, and we'll be right back. WYTS, and welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show, as you know, is also known as Everything You Have Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. And today we're talking to Dr. Otero from Hempstead, North Carolina. He's a young dentist, been out of dental school for 5 years. Him and his wife, who is also a dentist, have opened up an office recently. And what we're doing is talking to him about the challenges of that, the cost of dental school, the cost of getting an office open. The behind-the-scenes things that people don't necessarily know about or even think about. But I think it's interesting, and hopefully you guys will too. During the break and during our last discussions, we had a few emailed guesses to our question of the day. Gina emailed us with a guess of 20th. Let me just restate the question. Where does North Carolina rank in the dentist-to-population ratio in the United States? So Gina's guess was 20th. Bradley sent in 7th. And Gloria sent in one that is 18th. She thinks we're 18th in the nation. And none of those are correct. Dr. Otero knows the answer, and he's going to be the one giving the answer here at the end of the show. But
these are all good guesses.
Yes, they are good guesses. So now we have we kind of figured out that there's about a $2,000 a month debt from dental school per dentist. Not you know, you're married to a dentist, so you probably have in the neighborhood of $4,000 a month. And I'm not sure, I'm trying to remember, but if I remember right, isn't $1 million loan about $20,000 a month or something like that? Does that, you've done it more recently than I have, does that ring a bell?
It's not comfortable, doctor.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, $1 million loan is up there. It's up
okay.
There. It's going to be about, because most of your dental loans are going to come out to, they'll give you about 10 years to pay it off.
Oh, it's a higher number because it's a shorter term.
Yes. But it's going to be around that number.
Okay. So we're using...
I'm not going to give specifics on the cost of our practice.
No, no,
average,
no, no.
Average practices are probably going to be, and I have several friends that have just opened dental offices, and they're, range around that price range.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for is a range. We're not trying to zero into any one office, but you having dealt with the banks most recently, your memory would be fresher than mine.
Yes.
So you're all set to go, and the loan... you thought was approved, I'm sorry, was approved, yeah, and then you called them up and said, I'm ready to go, and they said, we don't have any money. So, yeah. Boy, what'd you do?
I watched the news. I watched CNN every single day and just watched as the ticker tape kept rolling by saying, we're in a credit crisis, there's no money to lend at all, and I was waiting for that $700 billion bailout to go through. And you know, all this money, we need it in small businesses and everything, in dentistry and healthcare. All that money that went through to be able to lend, being a small business owner and a dental practice owner, that touched me personally. I did not think that that would affect us, but it did. And this was, can I say the name of the company? I mean, a huge company.
I think so, because they've been in the news, right? It's not like a big secret.
Yes, they have. This is GE Capital.
GE Capital.
GE.
Oh, right? GE Capital.
GE Capital. They are the largest lenders to dentists. I do believe now that they do have funds to give. But basically, I had to start the lending process all over again. From square one. Had to go to local banks and say, here's my, you know, here's our business plan. This is what we're doing. You know, these are the numbers. These are our projections. This is what we need. And it was about a month and a half that my wife and I had to support the practice with all savings, family help, and everything just to stay afloat.
Wow.
And then finally the banks got the loan money and everyone was able to release their money.
Oh, wow.
But it was during that credit crunch. It really hit us hard, and unfortunately that just wasn't the right time to open.
Well, you know, I have a parallel. There are a couple of parallels with you and I that I didn't realize till you. I had you on the show, and that is, the one is the credit. When I opened my office in 1980, prime interest rate was 11.5%, and I was at 13.5%.
Wow.
Not favorable rates, but that's what it was in 1980. But that was bad enough, except within six months, prime rate went to 21.5%. I think it's never been higher in history. And my interest rate then went to 23.5%. And so my brand new business loan, which was, in comparison to the date, you know, if you were to factor in the fact that it was 29 years ago, went up so much that I had to lay off the only employee I had, and had struggled to do everything by myself with the help from my wife, and, you know, trying to answer the phone and do paperwork and do everything. I made dentures at home in the crock pot so that I couldn't afford to pay the lab.
That's when you trim the fat. That's what you have to do.
But for some reason, my wife would never use that crock pot again. And I just don't understand. She was just would not do it.
She probably looked over at you. She said, honey, we got this on our wedding registry. And we're using it now to make dentures.
Yes. And then the other is the fact that I, too, have an office that is similar in size, and so I understand the numbers, although I did mine about 6 years ago, and that's why I'm familiar with some of these numbers. But anyway, so you were lucky enough then to weather the storm, get the office open,
and many sleepless nights. Many sleepless nights. Especially, we have a seven-month-old baby girl.
Okay.
So we had our first daughter. We had just had our first child. My wife was not working for a few months, but we did a great job putting savings aside because we knew, you know, we could run into some hiccups when the office first opens. We want to have a little bit of a cushion there to help us through, as well as, thank God, you know, we had great family to be able to help out. My father was able to help out for a little while, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, that was really fortunate and very nice of him to do.
Not everyone has that luxury.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to a break. I want people to know that this show and all of the other shows are available by podcast at www.talk1230wyts.com. When you go there, hold your mouse over the on-air button. A list of names of people that are on the air, like Neil Bortz and Lou Dobbs and... Laura Ingram and the sports guy, Jim Rome.
Jim Rome.
Couldn't remember.
That's right.
Jim Rome. Sorry, Jim. Anyway, choose Dr. Kvitko. Don't get waylaid by those other people. Choose Dr. Kvitko. When you go there, come up to my podcast page. You'll see pictures of the polar bear root canal. Underneath there it says, click here to go to podcast page. And just left-click on whichever show you'd like to hear. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Smile a little smile for me, Rosemary.
Welcome. Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. And today I'm speaking to a relatively young dentist from North Carolina, Hampstead, North Carolina, Dr. Otero. And we have him on the show because we're trying to get some insight as to what a doctor has to go through to open up an office and the expenses involved in that. And Dr. Otero, one of the things, well, first of all, congratulations for surviving the getting your office open with the bank having to bow out due to lack of funds. That's very commendable.
Thank you so much. But, you know, it allows you to sacrifice and know that it's all going to be worth it in the long run.
Right, you appreciate it more.
And hopefully our patients appreciate it, that we work so hard to do that.
Well, and I want to get to the patients because a lot of listeners are thinking, well, you know, hey, that's not my problem that he's got $24,000 in built-in debt. I don't want to be overcharged when I get there. And
right.
And the reality is you can't charge any more than anyone else down the street who's been open for 10, 15, 20 years. Am I right?
That is correct. That is correct. And we don't. I mean, we are right there, and the fee schedules match up fairly, you know, with the whole area. I mean, definitely we just want to stay. You don't want to price yourself out of the market
right.
at the same time, and you need your patients to be able to afford the care that you're offering.
Right.
Because every dentist feels that they're offering the best care for their patients.
Right.
And I know you and the technology that you've invested in your office, as well as for me, it just shows that we care, we're out there, we're doing this for them. I mean, it's really not for us. It's for them that we're taking the time to learn all these things, to invest in our practice, to invest in the technology, to get them the best possible care available to them.
It's a lot more expensive to invest in the technology, to have the nice office with great parking and a comfortable reception room, and have the procedures available that will minimize discomfort, enhance their experience, and yet the fees are comparable. So
yes.
If patients are out there who are thinking about coming to you, and they have a choice between your office that offers those things and an office that hasn't updated in 15 or 20 years, it's probably a good thing for them to know that the fees are going to be similar, but the care might be just a little bit more enhanced. Certainly the technology, well, first of all, what technology has done is decreased radiation for an x-rays, with the digital x-rays, things like CIREC, crowns allow people to have same-day crowns. I'm not sure if you have that yet, but I know
Maybe
if you don't.
We don't have the CIREC yet, but it is something that is on our wish list. That we hope to have soon once our patient base builds up. Hopefully at the end of year one, we'll get a CIREC.
Yeah, and so what you're saying to me is rather than taking any additional funds you maybe come upon at the end of the first year and buying a boat, you're going to invest in a CIREC machine that will allow people to have same-day crowns.
Exactly, reinvest in the practice.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I know that we spent a lot of time kind of picking your brain about being a young dentist and opening up. So let me just get on to a little bit about you and as a dentist and a person. What's your specialty?
I did not specialize leaving dental school. There are many great specialties out there in dentistry. One of them would be when you leave dental school, you leave with a four-year degree. You leave with your four-year degree, your bachelor's from university, and your four-year doctorate degree that you go through in dental school. So that's 8 years of school. And that was where, after I met my wife, I think I was ready to stop there. But if you do decide to specialize, there is a specialty in endodontics, which is root canal therapy. That would be an additional 2 to 3 years of dental school, 2 to 3 years of school, and that's a residency program. There's orthodontics, people that place braces. It's an additional 2 years of school for that. Pediatric dentistry, there's some three-year programs for that. Periodontics, which is gum specialist, basically, and that's an additional 2 to 3 years of that. Oral surgery could be a 4 to 6 year additional program, but when you do those, you limit your practice to doing those procedures every day,
right.
and that's what you're going to do.
So you thought you might be bored?
A little bit. I have a little bit of ADD when it comes to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife and I decided that we're going to try to educate ourselves as much as possible on every aspect of dentistry and just do what we love. I love everything.
And that's another parallel, by the way, to us. So this is pretty interesting. It's like I'm talking to a younger version of myself. When we come back, I'm going to ask you to give the answer to the question of the day. I'm going to give out the last guesses we received, and then we go to a break, and you'll give the answer. We've had, Christian called in a guest of 23rd, and the question, by the way, was, where does North Carolina rank in the dentist-to-population ratio in the United States? So Christian called in a guest of 23rd, Martin sent in a guest of 29th, and Tempest sent in a guest of 35th. So none of those are correct, and after the break, we will get the answer from Dr. Otero, as well as wrapping up the show. So you're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kivitko, and on the show with me is a young dentist who just opened an office with his wife in Hempstead, North Carolina. Actually, I want to give out Dr. Otero's website. It's www.smilewilmington.com, because Hempstead is apparently close to Wilmington, North Carolina. So that's smilewilmington.com. And then, Dr. Otero, I'm going to give out the last guesses that we have on the question of the day. Or actually, we already did that, didn't we? Yeah, now I have to get you to give us the answer to our question of the day.
I think the closest guess that we had was number 35.
Yeah, and that, but that doesn't surprise me because, well, let me check them. Let me see. We wrote the highest one was 35.
Well, you know, I basically kept this part out earlier in the conversation just because I didn't want to give away the answer. But my wife and I chose North Carolina to practice because it was the place where we felt we could help the most people. It is ranked 47th out of 50 in dentist-to-population ratio.
See, that surprises me, because I thought North Carolina was very metropolitan.
It is. But North Carolina has they have their own dental board here, their own state board. So when you graduate from dental school, it's much like people think about law school, where you have to take a state bar to practice. But many states across the nation accept one large board. For example, I graduated from New York, where we took the Northeast Regional Board. That board exam was accepted in 46 different states. But for me to come practice in the state of North Carolina, I had to take the North Carolina board. So it's a single state board, so it's very difficult for dentists to move to the area, to take a board exam, to bring patients down with them. So it basically sets up borders to not allow people to come in. So it makes it a little more challenging for dentists that didn't go to school in the state of North Carolina to practice in North Carolina. And North Carolina only has one dental school, and that's UNC, Chapel Hill.
Okay.
They only graduate about 90 kids a year, 90 doctors a year. So basically you have 90 doctors graduating a year to serve the state, and maybe about an additional 50 to 80 taking that board exam yearly to come in and be the doctors for the state. And now there's more dentists retiring than there are graduating from dental school.
Sounds like their plan is backfiring.
Yes.
Yes, a little bit.
But actually, they have a plan in 2011 to help the state. They're going to open a new dental school in the state of North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
So that is going to increase the dentists graduating yearly.
Why don't they just let outside dentists take their tests and make it a little easier for them rather than the cost of opening a dental school?
I believe the reasoning for that is the state board... The boards want to protect their patients, want to protect their doctors, and they set up a lot of rules for everybody, and every state is different. For example, North Carolina has some permitting when it comes to sedation. So you have to take additional courses and different things. And so I don't understand why the borders...
Hey, Dr. Otero.
Yes.
I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're running out of time here.
Okay.
But with that in mind, would you be willing to come back on the show another day so that we can continue this conversation?
I would love to come back on the show. I think that this was a great opportunity to get out there and really let people know what we go through as dentists, you know, day to day.
Do me a favor. I was looking for your office phone number, and I'm not able to find it, and I guess you probably know it. So can you give us your phone number if somebody wants to call your office?
Yes, it is 910-270-9344.
Okay, and again, it is smilewilmington.com.
Yes.
Is your website. And when we have you back on the show, we'll expand a little bit more about what you were just saying with the restrictions to be a dentist in North Carolina, as well as the as well as I want to find out a little bit about your practice philosophy. So.
All right, great.
Okay. So thank you so much, and we'll be in touch. So stay on the phone, and my producer will get some information from you and maybe select a date for a future show.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'd like to thank my listeners for tuning in. Really appreciate it. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WITS with Dr. Kvitko. Please tune in next Sunday. We'll be here again Sunday mornings at 9. Thank you very much.